and welcome to the all-new Guitar Shop podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, who is joining me today.
Hello, my name's Jay. I'm the manager here in the Guitar Shop.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm the acoustic Guitar Shop manager.
Amazing. So this is actually, well, this is a completely different lineup for us from recent times, and also for the first time in almost as long as I can remember, we are actually back in the Guitar Shop.
Yeah, it's probably been, I don't know, 3-4 months?
Yeah, ages. We've been doing it in Joss's video room whilst I've been over at the offices.
And we've Joss's hideout.
Yeah, Joss's hideout. And we've been doing it with Luke, who's one of the purchasers, and Joss, who obviously runs the YouTube. So it's, and I thought it was about time we kind of came back to the people who were actually kind of involved directly in everything that comes in and out, because I think everything that we get in the offices is are just like all the big things and all the releases that we know are going to happen because they have marketing behind them.
All of the boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the ones who open the boxes.
Exactly. Ah. So I thought it would be a good idea to come back here and talk about some of the things that we actually have rather than some of the things that are.
It's a bit like Christmas, isn't it?
It's
Christmas,
well,
all the time.
have you found that you're bored by living Christmas every day?
Well, just Christmas every day is fine, but it just means that the real Christmas isn't quite as interesting.
Does
as
it
say,
feel
just,
like Groundhog Day?
Just a
to
Wednesday
you?
Coming to work when you get a load of guitars over. It's, yeah, it feels like Christmas Day.
It was my birthday this week, and the packages that I opened were like contained like pants and socks. They didn't contain like custom non-reverse Firebirds or like custom Shop Les Pauls. I was like, oh, thanks, Mum.
Yeah,
just this the is socks. They're purple.
This job really has wrecked going into guitar shops for me as well. I just don't do it now. Sort of whenever I'm in London and my girlfriend's like, oh, should we pass by Denmark Street?
No, can we go to the Levi's shop instead?
Yeah.
Do jeans?
Yeah, it is a shame. Oh, well. Well, anyway, we...
There's a lot of good shops up there still.
There are some good shops, and there are some interesting things up there. Of course, I guess the difference is that we're always going to have all the new, later stuff, and I guess you can get cool old things up
it's
in
like
Denmark Street.
The whole street in one shop.
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, okay, well, let's start out by talking about what's going on in the Guitar Shop at the moment. We've had some cool new things come in recently. I guess kind of maybe the biggest, or certainly the most expensive thing that's come in is Gary Moore's Les Paul.
Yeah, so this sort of came out of a little bit of the left field, but we occasionally here in the shop will do commission sales. It's not something we do that often, but we did a commission sale very recently for a guitar that, yeah, used to belong to Gary Moore. And not just any guitar. It wasn't his like most famous Les Paul. It wasn't the one that used to belong to Peter Green. And therefore eventually became the beginning of the Collector's Choice run that Gibson did. But it was his second most famous guitar, which was a Heritage. I don't suppose you can call it a Les Paul because it wasn't a Gibson. But it was a guitar made by Heritage.
It was shapely.
It was a single cut, I believe. It's the
single cut.
If you want to avoid the lawsuit. Yeah, it was a Heritage single cut Les Paul, and it was on the cover of one of the records. I can't remember which record it was, but it was.
It was one of his live performances, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was,
and he used
DVD.
It live at Montreux.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think it's and it was a phenomenal guitar. It was an absolutely phenomenal guitar. But yeah, we had that in fairly recently.
Did you get to play it? Did either of you get to play it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Was it the most expensive guitar you've ever played?
It was probably the most expensive guitar I've ever played.
What about you, Dan?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
How much?
Because it's sold now. We had a collector come all the way over from Germany to buy it last week.
It went for
a lot of money.
A lot of money.
lot of money.
I think we can say. I don't think there's
really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was up. It was
five
up.
Figures.
It was up for sale at £32,000.
Yeah,
and it went for around that. I mean, it was a very expensive guitar, and it was a very, very cool guitar. And the thing is, it was a piece of modern rock and roll history, really. Yeah. You know,
well, that's it. You've got. I mean, it wasn't 32 grand's worth of guitar.
It was not, if you think about the memorabilia,
and that's what it was, and that's why it was the price
one. That said, the chap who bought the guitar plays in a relatively popular Gary Moore tribute band, and used it this weekend.
Yeah.
So it shot us some photos over of him using it.
Really?
We got some photos. Yeah, we do.
He Facebooked us those photos as well, which was quite nice of him. So
that is cool. But yeah, I mean, absolute phenomenal guitar. Yeah. And you know, occasionally we do get some stuff in like that. That's just like, wow, that's really something pretty special.
I'm really into that Pearly Gates Les Paul.
The Billy Gibbons one.
Yeah. Still got that?
Yeah, that's upstairs as well. So the that was another interesting one. That came out just before the Collector's Choice series. So Gibson's, like, the way that Gibson run their custom shop stuff is they have their sort of not production line, because it's not his custom shop, but their sort of run of the catalog stuff, I guess, which is, you know, they'll do a 56, 57
team built, that sort
of thing. 56, 57 58, 59, 60s, and then Les Paul Customs as well, and you know, there's a few other bits and bobs, but as well as that, they will occasionally also do this stuff called a collector's choice. Now, the Collector's Choice guitars are based specifically on a 58, a 59, or a 60 that somebody
usually
owns.
Pretty famous, aren't
they? Yeah. So the first couple were, you know, the first few were guitars that are owned or were owned by Gary Moore, Joe Bonamassa. Who else was there? There was Tom Scholz. There was a bunch of, like, you know, very famous guitarists. But before they did all that, there was also some custom shop stuff that was included, the Billy Gibbons Pearly Gates Les Paul, which is an unbelievable guitar. An absolutely unbelievable guitar. That's that I think was what, I think they came out in 2000 and I can't remember, 10 or 11, I think, maybe. And they, I think it really was one of the first instances of Gibson being like, nah, look, this is what we can do.
Yeah. Looks amazing.
It was a sad shame they didn't do the furry one, I thought.
Well, I was thinking that the one we've got here, when purchased, will encourage facial hair growth.
Really? Yeah. Maybe I should buy
exponential growth of facial hair.
Did you ever see the bearded Billy Gibbons?
I've seen pictures of them. Yeah. They look amazing.
What an incredible
just a fluffy
decision.
Guitar.
Yeah.
An incredible decision, yeah. A bold move.
That actually kind of leads us quite nicely into...
How do you wash that?
In the shower.
Do you put it in the shower or do you put it in the washing machine?
You have to take it to a...
It's probably fine at 40.
You get like an Explorer shape washing machine.
Quick wash.
To put it in.
Yeah, and you just pop it in the... take it to a pet grooming centre. That's, I think, is the
probably
official optimal. Guidelines.
Yeah. Just brush it out. And
dry cleaning.
Yeah.
Dry cleaning the guitar. It's interesting to have a musical instrument that you need to have dry cleaned.
That's true.
I think there might be one of a kind.
Yeah, I can't think of any others you need to do that.
I can't think of any
others. There were those leather Rickenbackers that you could get, those leather Lemmy's.
Gretsch Roundups.
Oh, yeah.
The leather belt around the outside, yeah. We've got one of those as well, haven't we?
We do have one of those.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's pretty bananas.
That's my cup of tea.
This kind of brings us nicely into the true historic.
Yes.
Side of things. Now, when we were talking about doing this podcast earlier, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about the new ridiculous Les Paul, thinking I was talking about the Gary Moore thing. And you thought I was talking about the true historics.
Yes.
I don't know anything about this as a concept. It's a new tier of custom shop.
Yeah, so the true historic range from Gibson is their... They really have, to begin with, I thought that when I read the whole spiel about it, where it was, okay, this is the closest Gibson have ever come to recreating a 58, 59 or 60. I thought this was, okay, come on. We hear this, you know, every few years.
Yeah.
This is just sales talk. And then I actually played one. And my word, they are unbelievable. It's unbelievable the way that they've just.
I thought those collector's choices were good enough.
I know,
like
I know.
Another step, isn't it?
If you, we've got a Lemon Burst one here at the moment that you really have to just plug. It sounds and feels unbelievable. It's so difficult because it's really difficult to sort of quantify why these things are better. I think they just. It's like the difference between. It feels like. Another jump, and I can't really explain why, but they sound and they play absolutely amazing.
A good test is how they make the Hot Rod Fender Hot Rod Deluxe drive channel sound.
I mean, that's, you know, that's your benchmark, isn't it?
They make it sound badass.
You just play E, play one
just
E.
Play E at the bottom of the neck.
Dun, dun.
And that's it.
Amazing.
Get it bought.
So how do they work then? It's completely custom shop, so
yes.
It's just Les Pauls that will come in there, True Historic, right?
Yeah, I don't think they are doing anything else at the moment. I wouldn't expect there would be a 61 SG. Maybe at some point in the future, and I also wouldn't be surprised if we see some 335s at some point. But currently, yeah, it's just there's a 56 gold top. There's a 56 gold top, a 57 Les Paul, like a 57 like Black Beauty type guitar. Then there's a couple of 58s, a couple of 60s, and the 50 like a couple of 59s. And we haven't got one of the 59s here just yet, but it's, you know, from what I've read about them, they are going to be simply unbelievable.
Awesome,
simply the best.
Yeah.
Now, on sort of the subject of Gibson, we've also just got in the new, I don't know what the official name is for them, the interim period guitar. So
they
is it
haven't.
The CM?
They're not here. They're not here.
Oh, is it not here? I thought I saw it.
Oh,
out there.
The CM Les Paul.
Yeah, the CM.
That's actually something different. That's something different. The CM Les Paul was announced about 3 or 4 months ago or so, I guess, and it's kind of like a it's halfway between a LPJ and a studio, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But it's just a
looks a bit like an LPM as well.
Yes, yeah, LPJ, LPM, you know, that's that sort of thing.
Oh,
so
are they the same thing?
Well, the LPM had the mini tune, had
right.
the, you know, the G-Force tuners.
I see.
Whereas the LPJ was just
was the one before that.
Was the one before, and that had the two humbuckers. What's going on? Oh, sorry. It was that's great. Just a really cool budget American built Les Paul.
So speaking of new things coming from Gibson, we've just got a ton of 2016 Gibson acoustics, Dan.
We certainly have. We certainly have, Joe.
I was I was doing the photos for them the other day, and there were some cool bits and bobs. The first time I can remember on acoustics that they've made a deal of the year of the release, so it says it on the on the little nameplate.
The 2016 series, yeah. And there's a little badge on the Truss Rod cover.
Yeah.
So I think you could probably change that if you wanted to, but why would you want to? It's 2016. We're living in the future now. So.
Exactly.
We got some great ones though, some really nice stuff. They made some improvements to the standard series, like the J45 standards have got slightly different finish on them now. It's slightly thinner. They use a finer grit sandpaper on it. I found immediately that it's just still very soft, but much harder to scratch.
Right.
Which is just perfect.
So was that an issue before they're a little bit scratchy?
Never really an issue. It's just the finishes are so soft on this stuff. The nitro is so soft that you can kind of dent it fairly easily.
I can't believe how glossy Gibson acoustics are. Like, they are when they come up on the photograph list, now Joss mainly does the photos now, and I, unfortunately, whilst he's on holiday, I've been doubling up, and I was gutted when I saw Gibson acoustics on the photograph list, because you can't take
pictures. Can't take a photograph of them.
They're so reflective that the camera can never find focus on them, which is incidentally, funnily enough, why you'll never find pictures of the back of a Gibson acoustic on our website, because the back being completely flat, it's just a reflection.
Just a reflection. Just a
mirror. Yeah.
It's the mirror guitar.
It's just my face holding a camera whenever
I'd pay for that.
Who wouldn't?
Could we get like a kind of J45 shape of your face?
J45.
We could stick on a few.
That's a great idea.
That's a really good idea.
But yeah, there have been some really cool bits. I really like the L00.
The L00. Well, that's been around for a while. But this is just an upgraded kind of version, I believe. On
they did
all of
like
them,
a red spruce version, didn't they?
They've done a red spruce version, and this new one is red spruce as well. Though the older models we've had of L00s have all been Adirondack red spruce tops,
right?
But I believe the difference on this one is they've slightly changed the pickup. It's an LR Bags Element, so it's just a two control one now. It's a VTC system, so you've got a tone control and a volume.
Has that always been the case, LR Bags doing pickups for Gibson?
LR Bags have kind of always done it, yeah.
Right.
Although a few of the J200s of the past have had Fishmans in them. But to be honest, the great thing about these pickups is they're so kind of interchangeable. We sell a lot of them aftermarket, and they're really easy to fit. So they can just bosh whatever they want in, I'd imagine, whatever suits the guitar. But these are cool. They give you tone control rather than just the volume. The one, the absolute one that we had was an acoustic, actually. It's a it was a vintage spec Hummingbird.
Right.
So where they used to do a true vintage, now they just call it a vintage, and they've, instead of having it as a custom shop kind of limited run model, they've just incorporated it right into their 2016 series. So they're just going to do them, I imagine. I reckon we'd be able to get them a lot easier. They're about the same price. They're about 3,000 quid, but it sounds unlike anything else. It's the first one, and this is crazy, it's the first one that I've played that was better than my old one.
Really?
Yep.
And what's your one? What's your old one?
My old one was just, it was an old early 90s standard,
right,
that had just had the hell played out of it. Had like been broken in half and been fixed and stuff, but it had a load of vibe. Just sounded amazing, sounded like nothing else. And this kicks its ass.
Amazing. Amazing.
Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that. That's fine. I don't rate our podcasts.
I think they're all right, mate.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to talk yourself down so much.
You can language rate them,
right?
And okay. I don't do it, so I assume that means that we can say whatever we want. We probably shouldn't still, but I will accept.
That will be accepted. You could go worse than that, and we won't go there. Obviously.
No, exactly. But,
coming back to the Hummingbird quickly.
Yeah.
Not quite finished yet. There's a reason why it sounds better than my old one.
Right.
Because, of course, my old one had been played the hell out of. I'd had it for years and years and years. All the top had kind of aged, and the spruce had been moving and moving and moving, and it loosens up with time. But these ones have been torrified.
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 Now, if you tell me what torrifying is...
Torrefaction.
Is torrefaction...
Torrefaction.
Is that similar to the process that Yamaha introduced for their pianos? They were applying... They essentially made something that looked a lot like a time capsule, and the wood before it was used on the pianos, they also did it on Billy Sheehan's signature bass.
They send it back in time.
Yeah, they send it back in time.
And the act of sending it back in time,
yeah,
just makes it older.
Older, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, makes it older.
Makes it older.
Makes it older.
Yeah.
But
no, what they did is they put it in this booth that applies a lot of pressure and a lot of heat, and that makes the sap in the wood crystallize, which is exactly what happens to wood over time. Is it something similar to that?
Exactly that.
So Gibson have finally got on that. Yamaha have been doing that for years. I think Yamaha need to claim that one as a.
It's something that Martin have been really cottoning onto as well with their authentic series stuff. And like the late 30s D28s and D18
right.
authentic guitars they've been doing. And also, I know you've played this, the 00028 Koa that we've got in stock, the 1921 version, which has a torrified top.
Oh, really? That's my favourite acoustic in the shop.
It's amazing.
I love that guitar.
Really does sound good. But yeah, these new thermally aged tops are a winner, I think.
Amazing.
It's
Sweet, what a cool change.
Yeah.
On the subject of acoustics, you've got loads of guilds up there at the moment.
We've just started doing, well, we've received a big shipment of guild recently. Their newer kind of westerly series stuff, right, which is replacing the old kind of GAD series, uh-huh, which was really complicated and had a million different numbers and letters in. Now they're all really simple. D120, M120, OM20, just very simple, nice and easy. And they're the similar kind of quality guitars. They're all solid. You get an M120, it's all solid mahogany.
Is it like 120 years of guild? Is that why it's 120?
No. It's because it's, you know, the old, that really famous Nick Drake guitar on that, the cover of Brighter Later.
Okay.
You know, that old brown guild he had.
Right, no.
It's called an M20.
Okay.
And this is something I've always said to the people we buy our guild stock off. So why don't you do that guitar anymore? It's like, it's one of the most famous guitars ever.
Yeah.
It's a really small body, nice mahogany top, back and sides guild that they used to make in America in Westerly. And Nick Drake made it famous. So they've done a new version, which is made in the Far East in China. There's, again, the same specs are all solid with a case. And they look the same. They're really, really cool. And they're about 400-ish quid, I think.
Really?
I'll have to double check on the web. But the announcement recently from Guild has been they're going to do it. They're going to make a proper American one.
Are they?
An American M20. They're going to do a D20, which I can't wait for. We've got one on order. Personally, I think we should have just ordered like 100 because everyone's going to want one. Once they're kind of properly announced and everyone sees that they're going, everyone's going to want one of those. It's just a proper Nick Drake guitar, but the real deal.
Cool.
Amazing. It's going to be amazing.
Awesome. So, and I guess that's kind of everything that we've got cool new in the acoustic world at the moment. And we've spoken a bit about the cool stuff we've got in the shop guitar-wise. What about amp-wise at the moment? Is anything interesting coming in, sticking around? I noticed that we've got a Matchless 410.
Yeah. That's very, very cool. Greenbacks. 10-inch greenbacks, which I can't think of that many amps that use 10-inch greenbacks.
Unless you found like a Marshall 410.
But they would probably be G12s rather than greenbacks.
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, I can't really think of much that uses 410 greenbacks. But yeah, that cab sounds great. Really dark.
Yeah. Super dark.
Which is kind of weird considering it's like open back and...
Oh, it's open back?
It's open back, yeah.
Open back,
so don't weigh anything.
That's amazing.
It's really, really light. I mean, you could easily lift it by yourself. Awesome. It's just got... It's only got one handle on the top.
It's really skinny, but then I guess it's guitar cab depth, yeah, isn't it? So it doesn't need to have all,
yeah,
all that.
So depth. That's very cool. One thing that I am really excited about, if we're on the if we're on the train of talking about new things, not really new, but Last Chance to Dance.
Right.
Korg Miku.
Oh, of course. Oh, I need to talk about this on all our social media, actually, at the moment, because we are down to the last...
Five in the country?
And Korg have said...
They're not doing it. I nearly bought one first time around, and...
It can't be used for what you think it can be used
for. No, I mean, it can't really be used for anything. You know what it can be used for, though? You know what you should use it for?
Sounding like a Japanese girl?
What you need to do is you need to get a random tone generator.
Oh, yeah.
Plug it into the Korg Miku and then plug that into your Space Echo. And
That's like inviting another member of your band.
Yeah,
but without having to employ anyone.
Actually. So the Korg Miku...
One-off payment for a new band member.
We went wild about the Korg Miku when it was announced probably 18 months ago?
Because I think... I'm not sure. I think it was the second. Yeah, it was the Gear of the Year that it hadn't arrived by Gear of the Year, which would have been last December.
Yeah,
and we still put it in our top 10, even though it hadn't got here.
Did we?
Because we were so excited about
that's
it.
That's really funny. And then it showed up, and it wasn't anything like what we were expecting it to be like. But I mean,
but still just as awesome.
I think that's going to be
still great, just like not as applicable as we thought it would be. Okay. It's a fun, like, it's like the Earthquake Advice's Rainbow Machine.
Yeah.
In that you can't use it for anything sensible, but it's so bonkers that it's fun.
It's definitely going to be one of those pedals that in like 30 years, it's like someone who isn't born yet is going to like revolutionize guitar music. Whatever music people are playing in like 30 years time, someone who isn't born now is gonna pick up a Korg Miku and
I think it's
and
like, really retro.
And but not even that, like change guitar music forever, and then those pedals will be worth like thousands of pounds. It is such a wild pedal. I really think I need to buy one because it's so cool.
Yeah, it's a definitely.
Better be quick.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
you better be quick. This actually, we're coming up to time on this one because we have to do short podcasts now. We're doing them in the store because, of course, you guys do actually.
Yeah, we've actually got some work to do.
Have to be there for customers and stuff. Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna mill around for a bit and then go back to the office. I'll probably make another cup of coffee. I don't know. Check my Facebook. Something.
Have a biscuit.
Yeah. But it kind of brings us nicely into with my subtle reference to the Rainbow Machine.
Oh yeah, excellent.
We've got Juan Alderete coming down to the shop. Juan Alderete, if you're not aware, you must not have listened to any previous podcasts because I talk about him quite a lot. He's the bass player in from the Mars Volta. He's also the bass player in like Big Sur, Deltron 3030, Racer X, Zavala's, and loads of other bands. Like he appeared in most of Omar Rodriguez Lopez. His projects. So yeah, he is an absolutely incredible bass player, and he is also the founder and runs pedalsandeffects.com, which is a really great website for getting information on any pedals and effects. And he's an endorsee of Earthquaker Devices pedals that we've just started to stock. And the distributor for them said, well, if you get one of everything, we'll send Juan Alderete down.
Is he sorting out the display?
Yeah, that's
stuff?
Right. Yeah,
he's just coming. He's not actually doing like a signing session or a Q&A. He's actually just come to
in the stand up.
Like, yeah, that's right.
He's got to glue the letters.
Has he got like a specific order in which the pedals need to be running? He's just gonna make sure that everything sounds. I'm really excited for this because he seems like a very very cool dude.
Yeah.
And super knowledgeable about pedals.
Exactly.
He has done a lot of gigs. Considering his CV, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a pretty eclectic lineup of bands as well.
Yeah, exactly. He's done a lot of stuff, but yeah, he'll be coming down here on the 11th of September. I announced the event yesterday at I don't know midday.
Yeah, less than 24 hours ago.
I just before I went to bed last night checked the Facebook event for it, and more people have signed up to it than I think we can fit in the shop.
Excellent.
And it's been up for less than 24 hours.
So I mean, we're gonna have to cap it at some point. Yeah. So if you want to come, you just got to make sure that you either get your name down for the event or work here.
Yeah. it's odd because he's definitely not the most famous person that we've ever had in store, but that is the quickest that we've ever had a group.
Yeah,
but go to full capacity.
I don't know though, because the way I see sort of Juan Alderete is, I think he is probably more. I don't really like using the word famous because I think that can be a little bit of a weird term. But yeah. I think people are probably more excited for him being here because of his work with Pedals and Effects.
Yeah,
I agree. being a YouTube like fella. As opposed to being, oh, we've got the bass player from Mars Volta.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's that. You know, that's the same thing as when we had Ola England down. It wasn't like, oh, come and see Ola England, who plays guitar in this band. It was, oh, come and see Ola England, the guitar demonstrator and like the person who everybody who does any YouTube demos wants to be.
That's
why these things are successful, and it's really cool. It's really, and that's one of the things that I love about. About YouTube specifically and social media as a whole is that it really allows you to sort of be like, oh wow, these people they're actually just like real human beings. There's no sort of unobtainable they're not unobtainable, just come down and say hello.
Not some rock star behind a barrier anymore.
Absolutely, like, which I don't think is I don't think guy. is really a thing that much anymore.
Well,
you know?
I think people stand to maybe get more out of these sorts of clinics, because if you compare sort of, if we take Ola England and Nathan East, who came down here, when Nathan East came down, he was talking about his history,
yeah,
which is great and really interesting to know, and if you're a Nathan East fan, amazing. And even if you're not, to be honest, he has such a cosmopolitan history. It was really interesting. But when Ola England came down, he talked about his history a bit. But what he was talking about was giving people advice on how to do what he was doing. Yeah. Because he's still doing it. Nathan East sort of came from somewhere where he was like, well, I just played lots of sessions. You just got to get out there. And it's like, well, the music industry is totally different now from the one he grew up in. He doesn't know anything about the one that we're in now, because he's now super famous and gets asked to do records. People trying to do it now have got a harder job and a different job. And things like YouTube are the way into that
absolutely.
World. Whereas it wasn't for Nathan East. He just met someone. They found out he was a good bass player. He did it for 40 years and now he's...
A lot of it is... pre-internet and then post-internet bands and superstars.
Exactly.
The difference between someone, just like you just said, someone ascending to being a real famous rock star now is so different.
Yeah.
You see it on all the festival lineups as well. Like, all of the headliners, have you noticed, are all pre-internet.
Yeah, and they still are.
I think maybe like Muse are probably the latest band to kind of headline all these festivals without being like an internet
sensation. You absolutely right. We were talking about this the other day in the office, that we were talking about our first festivals, and I think my first one was Reading 2000. We were talking about the bands that were headlining it, you know, bear in
but
mind.
But you're 22, aren't you?
Yeah, bear in mind it's 15 years ago, the same bands are headlining it.
Well,
it was back then, it was Slipknot, Blink-182, I think Papa Roach and Korn played, and like, you know, and it's, the bulk of those bands are still headlining.
They're still doing
festivals.
Those festivals.
But then you can look at something like, I guess it depends what festival you're looking at, because, you know, then look at who was headlining Glastonbury 10 years ago. You know, it was people, I guess, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm assuming it was people like Pink Floyd maybe, or, you know, big guitar bands. And now you've got people like Kanye West.
Well, that's it. They've run out of rock bands. They've had to ask
Florence
hip-hop
Machine
bands to come and fill in.
Yeah. Because Florence and the Machine headlined as well, didn't they?
Only because
Foo Fighters dropped out.
Fell off the stage. Yeah.
But
he fell off the stage, he did. But he kept playing. He kept going.
He came back. I bet he was trying to keep that Trini Lopez well out of...
It's not Trini Lopez, it's a Dave Grohl.
Yeah, it's a Trini Lopez. anyway, gentlemen, that...
I said he's probably got, 25 of those.
He probably has a lot of those guitars, that's true.
And that's just what he keeps on tour. At home, he's probably got another 50 of them.
Yeah. God damn it. Anyway, gentlemen, that brings us about up to time, so thank you very much for doing this shorter Guitar Shop podcast. I'm going to try and come down here every week and do a little podcast, and I'll sometimes have you guys, and I'll sometimes get other people, and I think it would be cool to just... chat shop stuff and talk about all the
cool new
things that will come in. So thanks very much, everyone, for listening. You can, of course, if you have, we might do some questions, maybe. I think maybe one more podcast on sort of cool stuff at the shop, and then we'll take some questions. So of course, any questions you can ask on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds group. You can also get hold of me on Twitter at @Yosef_900. Jay Cross, how can people get hold of you?
Shoot me an email, j.cross@gak.co.uk, or I'm on Twitter @jaybn1.
Dan Grace.
You can email me. My email is dan.grace@gak.co.uk, or you can tweet me. My Twitter is ukuleledeath.
Amazing. What an incredible handle. Brilliant. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. See you again.
Thank you.